everybody, it's Steve. Paul and I are actually on spring break this week, so we'll have an irregularly scheduled program for you today. We've been picking up some new listeners here and there, so we felt like, well, it's a good time to run the pilot episode again. It's hilarious, and it's a good introduction into the kind of thing we do here every week. In addition to that, we're rerunning a midweek DP for the uninitiated. That's a little side project we do. It's 20 minutes. Our normal show is an hour. We'll do 15, 20 minutes on whatever. Ordinarily, it's only me or only Paul. And I'll let you in on a little secret. We use it to shamelessly add a midweek piece of content to the podcast schedule to get you to tune in a little more often. So on the one hand, you're being subjected to recycled material. While Paul and I bask in the sun on the beach in Maui with Mai Tais during our spring break. On the other hand, we get to introduce a whole new generation of listeners to the pilot and to one of our favorite midweek DPs. So thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy the show today. We'll be back very soon with a super special live episode, or as close to live as we can figure out how to do. We'll post more info on that, about the time and the technology, etc., to our Facebook page. So make sure you check back often and, don't panic. So in the meantime, do not forget, nothing you're about to hear is true. And now, here's the pilot.
Admittedly, the story you're about to read is bizarre, incredible. Those of you who wish to avoid being unsettled, who wish to avoid thinking, will label it insane. And though you, the reader, would find these facts almost impossible to substantiate, that does not change their nature. Facts they are. I know. I saw them happen.
It's Mars on the Hudson. It's Cheers Goes to Harlem.
Get you something to drink, brother.
It's E.T. Rides the Underground Railroad.
Want to see me make all the white people disappear?
125th Street next.
That was fantastic.
It's the brother from another planet.
Man is a fugitive from a chain gang.
He's got radar for a mind, removable eyes, and a lovable smile.
Give me five, brother.
White folks get strange all the time.
And welcome to Don't Panic, the podcast. And remember that nothing we are about to say is true. I'm Steve Vinson, and that right over there is Paul Schultz.
Hey, how's it going?
So we thought, we've got a few episodes under our belt now, and we've collected a few loyal listeners. And we don't exist unless you exist, and we really appreciate you listening. And
it blows my mind.
Well, I mean, usually I have about four people at a table listening to me jabber. And I'm surprised.
I don't know, under 5 feet tall.
Usually I'm surprised they don't stand up and walk away. And the idea that we have dozens, if not, half a dozens, we have six of one and half a dozen of another, dozens of listeners. And that just, I can't tell you how much I appreciate that. So what we thought we'd do this week is give you a little thank you gift, a little bonus, if you will. If you follow us on Facebook, you would have seen that we actually did a little technology check before we even did episode one, just to see, if we could figure out how to record this thing, how to do Skype, how to, just how to do everything. And we just actually ended up chit-chatting like we normally do when we get together because we've been Paul and I have been doing podcasts for nigh on 35 years.
We just didn't have a podcast then.
It's just that nobody was recording us. I mean, some of that shit on our on the school bus when we were in junior high was like solid gold comedy right there.
Yes, it was.
At any rate, that's what we did. We bullshitted for like a long time, and Paul is learning how to split and edit and splice, and he figured out
that's right.
a good, I don't know, 25, 30 minutes of
yeah.
quality stuff that we've come to call our pilot. So what what you're about to hear was recorded weeks ago before we ever even figured out what we were doing. And
because we know what we're doing now.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah, it's obvious, isn't it? So we hope you enjoy it. And after you listen to this, tell a few friends. And don't forget to listen to the next episode. So without further ado, here is Don't Panic, the pilot.
The pilot.
Well, on a brighter note,
commercial break.
The government has now banned the carrying of spears.
Stop about every 1,000 miles, ain't asking too much, is it?
You might wish to stay on and listen.
It was a place where everything was legal.
I met this woman.
So if you're looking for emotional satisfaction, my advice to you is seek professional help.
What are we going to call this thing? Don't panic? You know, I looked that up.
Don't panic.
When you sent me that idea, and for those that are wondering, the name of this podcast is Don't Panic. But when you sent me that, and you're like, well, it's all over the internet, and I thought, I'm going to go read up a little bit on copyright stuff. And did you know you cannot copyright a title? You can't you can't copyright a phrase. You can't even copyright like an idea or a plot. So you could write a book about a guy going around the universe with a book, you know, and going getting in all kinds of situations. Douglas Adams' estate could come and say, hey, that's copyright. And you would say, it's not copyright. It's just kind of the same idea and the same plot, but it's not the same.
Right. It boils down to who has the most money. Because I could literally make a comic book about a guy from another planet who comes here and, you know, flies around, and it could be from Smallville, which is an actual place. Well, not the same, but anyway. And whichever one of us had the most money is the one who would win in the court. But, you know, that's just what it boils down to. So, yeah.
That's true. Yeah.
Because you can have guys, like, I know there's some bands, like, there's a band in the UK called The Sword, and there's a band in the States here called The Sword, and, like, they differentiate each other by The Sword UK is what they call themselves over there. But literally they can have the same name, but to keep things separate, so to eliminate confusion, they put the UK on the end of it.
Yeah. So, yeah. I guess copyright comes down to confusion, like, trying to prevent confusion in the marketplace. So if your Hitchhiker's Guide ripoff seemed enough like the actual book to cause confusion, then they would probably win.
Right. Yeah. I actually wrote a couple of short stories completely ripping off Hitchhiker's Guide after I read them. So, yeah, mercifully they're gone. They no longer exist.
Anyway,
so how do we handle like language on this thing?
Fuck, I don't know.
I mean well, that was my main question, because I'm fine with it. You know, I just
I hear you. The thing.
Go ahead.
The thing I think about with that, and when I posted that, and you saw what I posted, the warning to my mom. I'm like, first of all, if she wants to be on Facebook, you know, she's got to know that kind of shit's out there, right? She's the one that made the decision to get on Facebook. So I think with sufficient warning, you know, I got no problem with, you know, whatever.
Well, that reminds me of my my one super religious aunt. We were... When she got on Facebook about a year ago, and we were at a cookout at my sister's house, And this is when my other account was still up and running. And she's like, so, and there's people all over the place. She's like, so, what does the N stand for? And I just said, fucking. And she's like, damn, the food almost fell out of her mouth. I'm like,
oh, shit.
What do you know what it stood for. Then I had to explain. I said, I've been that so much that I just made that my middle name, you know. But it was like, she's just like, jaw just hit, clunk, hit the paper plate, you know.
That's funny. Fucking.
So, I mean, I'm fine with language. So it's just, you know, I was just curious what your thoughts were.
Right, right. So I was talking to my mom about Facebook, and she's like, well, you know, there's that one word I don't like. I just don't like that one word. And I just can't. I can't do it. Why do people have to use that word? And I saw my niece, Nikki. Remember Nikki? Mm-hmm. She's like, she thinks she's older than she is, but she's like 35 or something. 38. I don't know. Somewhere probably in her mid to late 30s. But so she's got a mouth like three sailors in a fucking Turkish king. But anyway, she's always posting shit, you know, fuck this, fuck that, fuck you, fucking whatever, I live my own fucking life, and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And my mom actually, in the comments of one of her threads, is like, now, Nikki, you know I don't like that word. You shouldn't be using that word, Nikki.
Mom spoken.
So Nikki's, I'm sitting there thinking, oh, snap. So Nikki responds, like, I'll say what the fuck I want to say, you know? And so my mom unfriends her and all that shit. And so I was talking, so I sent a note to Nikki. I was like, ooh, you got in trouble.
When you get unfriended by your mom, you got a problem.
Oh, man.
That's so funny.
I told you never to call me here.
Let's just get one more phone conversation going.
Yeah. It's my mother-in-law. Anyway, if you don't like me, go ahead and unfriend me. And like you said, it's like,
yeah,
all I ever see is, if you don't like me, unfriend me. I don't know what to say. The other one is, I know, I usually don't post stuff like this, but I know my real friends will repost it. And it's like a copy and paste.
Right. Right.
I never do those.
I really can't formulate a complete thought, so yeah. I'm going to post this.
Hey, did you know, like, Constance was just telling me that Grumpy Cat, the owner of that Grumpy Cat, was a waitress or something, and now she has like $100 million. Because they made a Grumpy Cat, like, cartoon.
I can believe it.
Grumpy Cat this and that. I'm like, man, yeah. I got to get this
There's
dog.
A Grumpy Cat Christmas special.
Oh, really? No. Yep. No.
Yeah, there is. No.
No.
Is there really a Grumpy Cat? No.
No. I think it's this fucking dog doing something.
You're too close.
No.
Get your dog, like, to be, you know, a happy dog. But you know what I didn't know about Grumpy Cat? Grumpy Cat is a girl.
A girl?
I just automatically assume Grumpy. Yeah, I automatically assume Grumpy people are men. I read it in a man's voice, and I saw a thing. When this Grumpy Cat Christmas thing was coming out, and it's being voiced by the girl from
Ipanema.
Not Arrested Development. Yeah, the show's like, it's not Parks and Recreation, although it might be.
Two and a half.
And I'm like, her voice is perfect for the Grumpy.
Oh, is it?
Two and a half what?
Is it that chick? She's got like dark hair, and she just has like mm-hmm. a down expression. Yeah, I forget her name, but I'm going to look it up while we're talking.
Yes.
It's Parks and Recreation.
Yeah, I was going to do that too. Go ahead.
It's Parks and Recreation.
And she's perfect for it, but I'm just like, I can't quite get myself into that as much as I could in the past, because I always picture him like Don Rickles, you know,
yeah.
or somebody, you know, somebody like that. But
you're supposed to be a dude.
I mean, she's great and everything. She was in a...
Aubrey. Aubrey,
yeah,
Aubrey
Piazza or something like that. Yeah. Yep. That's her.
Yeah, she's ugly. She's the opposite.
She is.
She's the opposite of ugly.
Yes. She gets better looking because she's smart.
Hello, Paul.
Yep, that's her.
My name is Aubrey. I'm better looking because I'm smart.
I always knew this day would come.
I had to kick myself because a friend of mine knows somebody who knows John Russo, and I was like, John Russo, that sounds familiar. Then I realized one of my lawyers, I don't want to get into how many I had, but one of my lawyers in the Chicago area, his name was Richard Russo. And I was like, oh, that must be it. And then I thought, nah, I got to Google this because that name sounds too familiar. Do you know who John Russo is? Okay, well, now I don't feel so bad. He co-wrote Night of the Living Dead with
Romero. Oh, yeah, I got it right over here. Yeah, on my bookshelf.
I guess out of context, you know, it's the out of context thing. Like if somebody said, you know, Night of the Living Dead, John Russo, you'd be like, oh yeah, that's right. Anyway,
right.
You mean? Yeah. You know,
you
like
knew,
I just did.
If you were any kind of Night of the Living Dead fan, you'd be like, oh yeah, you're an idiot. I do not.
Did they ever call them zombies in that movie?
No, because what happened was, by John Russo.
Would you look at that?
His name's up here. Anyway, and you know what's funny about this? I bought this book at, it might have been Goodwill. Yeah. And I opened it up, and the previous owner was David Moore.
Oh, man.
You remember David Moore?
That sounds familiar.
the makeup guy. Anyway, what happened was, and I don't know if you know the whole story behind, there's a great documentary about it on, at least it used to be on Netflix. I don't know if they've taken it off yet. But the original title of the movie was, while they were making it, was going to be Night of the Flesh Eaters.
Mm.
And this is kind of where it gets back to our copyright discussion. It was called Night of the Flesh Eaters. When they made it and they took it in and they tested it, you know, with trying to find a buyer for it, at the last minute, they changed the name to Night of the Living Dead. But they were in such a big hurry, they didn't copyright the title. So apparently you can trademark or copyright the title. I know we talked about that earlier, that you can't, but because they didn't, for anybody could run that movie anywhere and not pay them a dime because their original movie was Night of the Flesh Eaters.
Oh,
so they didn't make any money on that movie. That movie, it's impossible because it's always played square since it came out. And it is impossible to figure out how many millions upon millions of dollars that movie has made. Collectively. You know, I mean, not any one person has it. But they got their shit together with the second one. They wanted to make sure. But no, they never actually called them zombies. They just called them, I think they might have called them ghouls once in a while.
Yeah.
But they thought Flesh Eater was just, they didn't want to do zombies. They were just people who ate other people because the idea being to consume new ideas. Because it's a whole big metaphor.
Yeah.
It's a really cool, I can't think what the documentary is called. But they never called them zombies. They might have called them that in the sequels. But as far as I know, with the original black and white, they never called them zombies.
That's interesting, because that's the only. I mean, if you look at the voodoo zombie and the so-called Romero zombie, mm-hmm. I mean, there really aren't that many similarities other than they appear to have either. Well, but there aren't any. I mean, I was going to say no will, but the Romero ones certainly have a will. That it's a single. It's a single thing.
A single purpose, yep.
Yeah, single purpose. But.
And he actually sells, Romero actually sells bumper stickers that say, fuck running zombies. He absolutely hates running zombies. He's like, he liked the idea that no matter where you hid and what you did, this slow, lumbering idea would eventually catch up with you, no matter how fast you're. That's why you always saw, Barbara. She's running like hell to get somewhere, and the zombies are just kind of lumbering along behind her.
Yep.
No matter how fast she runs, and she always runs into stuff. That's what I thought was funny. Yep. She'd always hit the wall.
Well, and I love in recent years, zombies have been pretty popular, and somebody asked me why I thought that was, and I made up a bunch of bullshit on the spot. But I think it applies to something, and it is in our lives, you know, in a modern society, whatever you want to call it, mm-hmm. we're not overwhelmed by getting the kids to school on time. We're not overwhelmed by making sure we get our own breakfast. We're not overwhelmed by the cable bill or the boss. You know, the boss's demand today to do an impossible task. We're not overwhelmed by any one of those things, and we can knock them each out. You present one of those at a time to us, and we can knock them out, right? Because they're just the slow-moving, oh, the bill. Okay, I'll sit down and pay that bill. Done. Mm-hmm. It's when we're backed in a corner or there's too many of them. Right. So the bill will stress you out if you don't have the money to pay it and they're threatening to cut off your cable. Right.
Uh-huh.
And that's backed into a corner. So, you know, now you might get killed by that one thing. Or if there's 100 of them all at the same time, you can't kill, even though they move really slow. And that's why I hate running zombies, too, because it blows that whole metaphor away. It's just that they're slow moving. You can handle one of them. At any given moment, but if there's 100 of them, you're going to be overwhelmed. And that, to me, that's the metaphor for life.
And that's just like the Well, that's what Ben, I think the main character. He's like, it ain't going to be one or two of them. It's going to be 10 or 20 of them. You know, when they were trying to run, going to get to her car.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. When I first saw the. I figure we have a deal with the zombies. They can be fast if I can have unlimited ammunition and perfect aim. And but if I don't have unlimited ammo and perfect aim, they have to be slow. That's it. Like Zombieland.
Right.
I was trying to figure out why I liked Zombieland, even though they run. And I figured out that it's because they have unlimited ammunition and perfect aim. Woody Harrelson never misses, and he never runs out of ammunition. So...
And he breaks the mold in movies ever since like Jaws. The really cool crazy guy dies.
Yeah.
It always happens.
Yeah.
And when he's in that little cube thing and you think he's gonna get ate up, no, he just has unlimited ammo. You know. He doesn't die and he breaks that, and I think that makes that movie just it just pops me that I think. That and Bill Murray he's laying there shot, and they ask him if he has any regrets. He doesn't go, I don't know, going, ah! He goes, Garfield, maybe? It's like, that was his regret.
Yeah. It was great.
But yeah, see, now I love the voodoo zombie. In fact, and you know, that's just something that there's so much prior to Romero, and then there's a little bit afterwards. Like there's a really good exploitation movie called Sugar Hill, where her husband gets her boyfriend gets killed, and she uses voodoo to animate the dead. You know, but that was about it. Everything else has been flesh eaters, you know, and for whatever reason, radiation or whatever.
Yeah.
But I absolutely love the voodoo zombie. But they just don't make enough movies of them anymore because they don't. And there's so many of them. There's a ton of what was that one? White Zombie, which is where Rob Zombie got the name for his band.
Oh yeah,
White Zombie is a fantastically underrated Bela Lugosi movie that. As much as I hate remakes, and as much as I'm bored with, like, Tim Burton, the movie's perfect for him to remake. I think he would do a good, because he uses all those sound stages and stuff, you know, makes everything look fake. Yeah. I think it'd be great. But
so, yeah, I was pretty happy about my kids liking the young Frankenstein, and then I was even happier when they demanded that we see the original Frankenstein.
You know what you need to do too is you need to get them. You need to get them to speaking of Universal. They need to see the Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Ah.
Because one of the most important parts of that movie is the creature was designed by a woman.
Oh.
It was I can't think what her name is off the top of my head. She just had a birthday like one or two days ago, and she's passed away. But she was an actress who also did special effects and stuff like that, and she was the one that designed. You know, they had an idea what they wanted, but she was the one that came in and made him look scary, human at the same time. Wow. So just because of that, I mean, I think that kind of stuff is important for girls to know.
Yeah.
But Frankenstein is amazing. Even to this day, that is an amazing film.
It's an hour and 10 minutes.
Yep.
Isn't that something? They just, you know, cut it down to what it needed and only what it needed.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Yeah, that was the beauty of them. I mean, that was because it was so expensive to make movies back then.
Mm-hmm.
Because all your special effects were hardwired. They were all, it was all makeup. It was all guys behind the curtain moving stuff.
Yeah,
and it wasn't a couple of guys eating Subway on computers making special effects. It was all real.
Yeah,
and it cost so much money. That, you know, they were staying. Now, if you ever seen Bride of Frankenstein,
yeah,
Frankenstein is excellent as well. And what the cool thing about that movie, because I always throw the girl angle in because I have two daughters and
yeah,
it's just important for know this stuff. But the lady that plays Mary Shelley in the beginning when they're talking, you know, when her and Lord Byron and I forget what Shelley's. Or Wollstonecraft or whatever her husband's name is or was. She is the same actress plays the bride. But what they did was she stood on a platform about a foot high. And she was a little bitty lady. So to be tall, not only did she have the big Marge Simpson hair, but she was up on a pedestal about a foot high. That's why you never really see her like... wandering around. I think there's one scene where she kind of staggers when she first comes up, and that was accidental, if I remember right.
Oh, wow.
But they kept it because it looked like, you know, she was learning, you know, this animated creature was learning how to walk for the first time.
Wow.
But yeah, I love those movies because they're just short. Another good one is like, see, he opened up a Pantera's box. There's, if you get a chance, I don't think you can get it in English, but I know it has subtitles. But while they were making, while Universal was filming Dracula, there was a Mexican company that would come in at night, and they were making their own Dracula.
Oh, wow.
And it's the exact same story, different actors and whatnot, but what, and it's obviously in Spanish, but what the Mexican crew did that the American crew did not do was the American crew, we were still dealing with the idea that a camera had to be stationary. You know, and it was mounted on this big thing, and it could move, you know, to film the scene, but it couldn't really move too much. Well, these Mexicans are like, so they put it on a dolly cart, and there's a scene where, like, when Bela Lugosi is standing at the top of the stairs, you know, looking all impressive, it's a great shot, but what the Mexican crew did was they put that thing on a dolly and they just zoomed that camera all up them stairs at Dracula. So it was way more dramatic, but you have to watch it in Spanish with subtitles, I guess. But I watched it on YouTube.
Do me a favor and stop saying Mexican. I'm, you know, not much offends me, but I think they want to be called, what does they want to be called? Hispanic Americans? Wait. Just Mexican. I don't know.
This was a crew. This was an actual Mexican crew.
That's just the word. You keep saying that. You keep saying that word, man. I just, you know, this is 19.
So what do I say when I want their food? What's that?
Gentleman from Mexico, I think. Or
Gentleman.
You know what's funny is that when the Mexican first came out with Brad Pitt, that's the reaction. Mm-hmm. That's like the gut reaction I had. I was like, can they do that? Wait a minute. I think I was just reverse racist.
And that was the pilot, right? So, you know, I was thinking, wasn't Frankenstein the original zombie? So, I mean, if you think about it, dead comes back to life.
You could call him a zombie.
Wait a minute.
I guess.
The original, no, you can't. The original Romero zombie, maybe. But the original zombie was probably some dude in Haiti or Jamaica, right? As you were pointing out during the pilot. Anyway, so that was a pilot. And by pilot, we mean we didn't know what we were doing. Clearly,
Fortunately, the plane didn't crash.
Exactly.
Right.
Clearly, we now know what we're doing. But once again, as we said at the top of this, you know, thank you so much for listening. Don't forget to tell a friend. For Paul Schultz, I'm Steve Vinson, and don't forget, nothing you just heard was true.
And everything is paraphrased.
Pilot, obviously, with the intro and the outro. Now, here is, and that's my high-tech studio and people sitting on the beds. You gotta love that. And so now here's an example of the Midweek DP with a little bit of current events thrown in. Welcome to the Midweek DP. I'm Steve Vinson, and nothing you are about to hear is true. Looks to be passing the Religious Freedom Restoration Bill, and Governor Mike Pence seems ready to approve it. Now, why is this ridiculous? Where to start? First of all, there's no practical value in this bill. Where was the rash of businesses being forced to violate their religious beliefs? Was this really a problem, or was this a bill looking for a problem to solve? So create a crisis, solve it. It's the government way. To me, if you don't like gay people, you know, don't cater their wedding. Don't take their wedding pictures or whatever. But don't make a big fuss about it. Make up an excuse. I mean, you know, you're out of cake flour. You ran out of film or hard drive space. You have another wedding to do that week. Something. Anything other than, well, I think you're gay, so I don't want to serve you. I mean, that's just going to shut your business down. Come on, people. If you're going to be bigoted, at least be creative about it. Now, there's another solution, which would be, hey, how about we stop being bigots? I mean, really, I'm not the most Christian of people, but the Jesus I learned about said to love everybody and not just breeders. And then there's the whole idea that this really makes Indiana one of those states. No amount of Indy Fringe or Indy Pride, soccer, cricket, Pan Am games, or Super Bowls will ever overcome the backwater image caused by this metronome of bad laws coming out of the moronic, self-serving state house. So as much as I hate to say it, the city I love, Indianapolis, has made great strides. The downtown is beautiful. The sporting venues, the sporting events we get, the concerts we get, the art, the music, the symphony, the theater is just phenomenal. It's the biggest little city in America, as far as I'm concerned. You get all the greatness of a small town and all of the benefits of a big city. You can walk your kids to school. Your kids can play in the front yard, and you know, you can take in world-class symphonies. That said, if these idiots at the State House continue passing these kinds of bills and focusing their attention on this kind of thing, people are going to start to say, hey, you're the backwater place we always thought you were. Anyway, you know all these things. This has all been in the news. If you listen to this podcast, you probably already have kind of an alternative, progressive mindset. And, you know, whether you're Republican or Democrat, you probably, well, most of you probably already think this is a ridiculous bill. If you don't, certainly we'd like to hear from you. But all those reasons that I just cited, I mean, we've all heard of that. So I'm going to play you a nice little soothing, peaceful, let's all get together song. And then I'll tell you a few things you may not have thought about when it comes to this bill. So come on, people. Can we all just get along? Welcome back. I'm still Steve, and this is still the Midweek DP. In spite of this terrible bill, I'm going to ask everyone to don't panic, because Indiana really is joining like 19 or 20 other states with similar laws. So aside from being stupid and bigoted, you know, at least Gen Con's options are sort of dwindling when it comes to picking a second or third tier city to do their thing. If you haven't heard, Gen Con is threatening not to come back to Indianapolis if we're going to be this way. That said, it's not like Indiana is the only state out there doing this. So is this law another example of the Republican Party of right-wing bigots? I don't think so. Although it is, it's an example of political expediency. This law was actually passed to make a state version of the federal law. The federal law was passed in 1993 unanimously by Congress. So, you know, one or two Democrats had to vote for it. I believe I could do the research, but I believe both the Senate and House were pretty heavily Democrat at the time. And it was signed by Uber Democrat Bill Clinton. So this is not a Republican initiative. Maybe right now it is, because they're looking to score some political points. But over the decades, this has been a bipartisan bigotry issue. Next, I would say the practical legal implications of this law really won't mean much. Businesses aren't, I think, going to be brave enough to try to use it to discriminate. I think if they try it, the backlash is going to be so huge that they'll be shut down. And also, I mean, if you're a business owner and it just, for whatever odd reason, you're just backwards enough that it just turns your stomach to serve somebody who happens to sleep with somebody that you don't think they should sleep with, make up an excuse. Don't get yourself shut down. Although I will say, I would like to encourage you businesses out there who want to discriminate against gay people, please put a sign on your window. Shout it from the rooftops. That way we know who you are. I'd rather know who you are so that I can avoid you than have you make up excuses. So don't take my earlier advice. Okay, next, number four, in case you were counting. This one goes out to my democracy-loving friends who think that majority rules is always a good idea. This is what happens. So when I complain about something like, say, Obamacare, and you say it was passed by a democratically elected set of representatives, and then I respond with, but even so, I think government should stay out of health care. And you say, well, you know, the majority elected these guys, and this is what they passed. I say, here you go. You want the majority to be able to bully the rest of us into their way of seeing things? This is what you get. The Constitution was written to protect the individual from the majority's whims. And that has to be held as one of our highest beliefs to keep crap like this from happening. Okay, that was four things. For the fifth one and final one, I think I want to end on a positive note. This law could very well be struck down in a Supreme Court case. So we have that to look forward to. It can be struck down. Indiana will still be, you know, that backwater state. Fortunately, we haven't taken up that immigration thing. I mean, there are just some laws that they're just wrongheaded. This is one of them. And I believe and hope that it will be struck down at some point, maybe by the Supreme Court. So for my gay friends and friends who just happen to be married to someone of the same sex. I know it's not very much consolation when you have encoded now into law the ability to discriminate. And to you, you know, I'm truly sorry. I you know, hopefully we can reverse these winds because I think it's probably last gasp of the social conservative movement. Desperate times call for desperate measures, and I think that's what they're doing. Anyway, that's enough seriousness for one night. Maybe we'll make you laugh this Sunday. But just felt like I needed to address a serious issue. Thank you for listening. That's my time. As always, thank you for listening. Every time you listen, it's why we do this. It's why we talk, so that somebody listens. And as always, send us your thoughts on the Facebook page, Don't You Dare Panic, or email nothingyouheardistrue@gmail.com. Until we hear from you, I am Steve Vinson, and tune in this Sunday for another episode. And, you know, our long-form version. But don't you ever forget, nothing you just heard was true.
My name is Harvey Milk, and I'm here to recruit you. I want to recruit you for the fight to preserve your democracy. Brothers and sisters, you must come out. Come out to your parents. Come out to your friends, if indeed they are your friends. Come out to your neighbors. Come out to your fellow workers. Once and for all, let's break down the myths and destroy the lies and distortion. For your sake, for their sake, for the sake of all the youngsters who have been scared by the votes from Dave to Eugene. On the Statue of Liberty, it says, give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to be free. On the Declaration of Independence, it is written, all men are created equal and endowed with certain inalienable rights. For Mr. Briggs and Mrs. Bryant and all the bigots out there, no matter how hard you try, you can never erase those words from the Declaration of Independence. No matter how hard you try, you can never chip those words from the face of the Statue of Liberty.
Well, there you have it. It's our best of show while we all take a little vacation, get a little Mai Tai in our hands and in our bellies. We'll be back very soon, like I said, for a live episode coming next week, hopefully, if we can figure out how to do it. In the meantime, we really appreciate you listening. If you're listening on RFI Indy, RFI.com, Radio Free Indy, Do It Indie Radio Hour is next, so stay tuned. And in the meantime, don't forget, nothing you just heard was true.
Not a chance. Sean, Oscar Colonel Caracalla. How are you doing today?
Gary.
I can't take you seriously in this dinner.
Have you ever considered modeling? With your bone structure and body composition, you can make a lot of money.
Bone structure.
Body composition.
Okay.
You made me just do that.
You're a sick person, you know that.
Smooth, guys.
Damn.
You've been good.
I know.
Wow. He's got game.
Where are you trying to go?
Yeah. Go ahead.
You want me to shoot you?
So, what's the question? Things go bad. Which one of these guys you want?
I'll take the other one.
Let's get them both up.
You have 3 seconds.
Three.